This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We're getting ahead of the president here. He's very discouraged by the violence that he's seen in Chicago. It's why he sent a very strong letter to Mayor Lightfoot offering help because she's clearly unable to control her streets.
At least 15 people outside a funeral home were wounded in the latest gun violence to hit Chicago.
A black vehicle began firing at attendees of a funeral. At that time, the attendees of the funeral exchanged gunfire.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If 40 million people are stuck at home, if they're depressed, if they're demoralized, if they've given up hope, that's how we wake up with a President Joe Biden. The damage and devastation that would produce for the country is enormous. I guarantee you, the week after the election, everything's magically better. Go back to work, go back to school. Suddenly the problems are solved. You won't even have to wait for Biden to be sworn in.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
And we're continuing tragically to find ourselves in this with COVID-9, including 830 Wisconsinites. COVID-9.
You don't understand. This isn't plans 1 through 8 from outer space. This is
COVID-9.
This is the one that worked.
Why do you wear the mask? So you don't make somebody else sick.
I want to ask.
Sick. What's with this guy?
Steve, that's our time.
Okay.
Unchained and unstoppable.
If you have an agreement with over a dozen, we have an agreement with over a dozen major lenders. 113,789 cases to make public safe spaces safer.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. The toll-free number from anywhere in the U.S. is 844-500-4242. Give us a call, 844-500-4242. The president is speaking at the White House right now. He's ran a little behind, but he's talking about cracking down on crime, and he's specifically talking about the city of Chicago, where he mentioned the 23 people who were shot there yesterday, 14 or 15 of them at a funeral of another victim of a firearm shooting. And a car full of shooters came by the funeral as it was letting out and opened fire, and the mourners returned fire. There were at least 14, 15 people injured, nine of them seriously or critically. And so he's got with him here today at the White House his Attorney General Bill Barr, the FBI Director, the Director of Homeland Security, Wolf, and he's also introduced several survivors or victims of violent crime in recent days, and he's specifically talking about the city of Chicago. We've got a sound cut, of him from just a few moments ago.
Today, I am announcing that the Department of Justice will immediately surge federal law enforcement to the city of Chicago. The FBI, ATF, DEA, U.S. Marshal Service, and Homeland Security will together be sending hundreds of skilled law enforcement officers to Chicago to help drive down violent crime.
So, of course, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, right a couple of hours before this shooting took place, or maybe right around the same time as the shooting took place last night of the 14 people, she tweeted out, Lori Lightfoot is her name, "Under no circumstances will I allow Donald Trump's troops to come to Chicago and terrorize our residents." I think your residents are being terrorized now, Mayor, and I say that with all due respect.
Of course.
Yes.
We wouldn't dare want to disrespect her, or she would call us Karens like she did Kayleigh McEnany. If these politicians, I'm not going to say hacks, I'm going to say Democrat politicians, If they focused even an eighth of their energy that they focus on Donald Trump on actually running their cities, you can't even imagine what a difference they could make. Jerry Seinfeld one time said this about Kramer. He said, you need to channel your energy. You're like Lex Luthor. And that's how I feel about the Democrats. They spend so much time getting on their Twitter and getting ready to concoct something about Orange Man Bad. Meanwhile, behind them, Rome is burning. It's ridiculous. And but she had a clapback against Kayleigh McEnany.
And unlike Lex Luthor, Donald Trump hasn't destroyed their hair.
Right.
They have even less to be angry about than Lex Luthor did in the comic books.
Oh, every day it's something about Donald Trump. They set their hair on fire. And I'm really getting the vibe, Howie. And I'm only one person. I don't know. I don't go all around the country like Donald Trump does. But I'm really starting to get a vibe that people are sick of it. They're sick of this nonsense. They're sick of the disrespect towards the police. And I think a really good measure of that, which is my first story in Grace's News, is the campaign, the Trump campaign, raised over $20 million in their virtual fundraiser.
Not bad.
I had someone ask me the other day, will you send me the link of the real website, which you should be careful about if you're donating.
The Democrats will now put out some more phony polls to try to depress Republican fundraising and gin up their own.
But Howie, and you've been in the news business a tidbit longer than I have. I know they're trying to depress the polls, but lately when I go on even the New York Post, AP, the Washington Post, all these news outlets, it seems like they're just trying to depress us in general. Just the headlines. I read one the other day that said something like, the coronavirus is mutating, and it's going to be bad.
Well, we learned that today from Joe Biden. He came out with the new variation. It's called COVID-9. You've heard of Plan 9 from Outer Space, Bela Lugosi's last movie, one of the worst movies of all, an Ed Wood movie. It was a great one, actually.
You heard of 999?
Yeah.
From Herman Cain.
Yes. Well, now we have COVID-9.
And we're continuing tragically to find ourselves in the midst of COVID-9, including COVID-19. 830 Wisconsinites of late.
They all have a case of, what is it called, Schadenfreude, where you get joy from watching other people suffer. They get joy from watching America go down because they think in their twisted minds that it's going to help them.
Well, I think Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, was right. He was in the intro, and he was saying that this is just a way to get Joe Biden elected. And once Joe Biden is elected, their plan is to just say, this is it. There's no more virus. You know what? We've looked at the numbers again, and you know, this really wasn't all that serious.
Right. It's evolved.
Right.
There's a new,
you know what? We misread some of these statistics. They were fudging the numbers in places like Texas and Florida.
It wasn't 3%. It was 0.0003%. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And obviously the schools reopening is becoming a huge issue. You're reading stories about that, about how, you know, the Boston Globe had some piece up today. I should have printed out the exact title. It was like, what happens when the first student gets sick? These people are like, they have a crystal ball, and they're just trying to hope in the future that disaster
looms. Did you see the governor of South Dakota? I think Kristi Noem is her name. You know her. She's the one that was about Mount Rushmore. She didn't shut down the state, but the schools were shut down. And she pointed out, and I don't think the Democrat governors want to talk about this, is that when they went to the virtual learning, or as Joe Biden called it today, viral, the virtual learning, 20 to 30% of the population in South Dakota, and that's not a terrible school system, I don't think.
I guess you could call it viral learning, since you're learning virtually because of the virus.
That's true.
But 20 to 30% of the students just disappeared. They never came back. They were gone.
They never logged back on.
They never logged in.
I can assure you, I wasn't a terrible student, but if I was in, you know, college, and it was, you went out and you partied and you go on the next day to your laptop, I'm not logging on to that. I'm just hitting the snooze button.
Pretty soon we're going to start seeing people, you know how they use mannequins to use the HOV lane? They're going to use lookalike stand-ups.
Right.
To go on their Zoom meetings.
They're going to use their posters that they're putting at the baseball games and then put it in front of the camera.
And if they don't let the schools reopen, then some of these parents that are going to say, hey, you've got to keep giving me the extra $600 a week.
Right.
Because I can't go back to work because I got my kids. And you know what? There will be a grain of truth to that argument.
Well, the Mailer manager had a great point today. So she's extremely successful as a woman in business. And she said, this is going to put a lot of women back in their careers because they're going to be at home trying to teach their kids. They're not going to get as much done virtually that they're supposed to be getting done. And you know that, in a perfect world, it'd be half and half, but a lot of the moms are going to take on the brunt of this and they're going to suffer.
Isn't it ironic that the teachers' unions are always telling the local property tax payers, you people are too cheap. You have to give more money, pay more taxes because it's for the children.
For the children.
And yet now they're saying, hey, we can't go back to school. No more school. No more school. You got to keep paying us, but no school.
No, exactly. It's ridiculous.
What about the children, teachers' unions?
And I wanted to let everyone know that Grace's News is brought to you by Genesis 950. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, if you have a darling dog like Howie, maybe an 18-and-a-half-year-old transgendered pug, and he or she has accidents on the rug, you want to try Genesis 950 first before you buy a new rug. It breaks down the bonds and stains and odors so they're gone from carpets and padding for good. Order a gallon direct at genesis950.com. Enter code Howie to get more than $10 in savings. You have to enter code H-O-W-I-E and you'll be saving in some way. So make sure you try that out. Don't buy a new carpet, Howie. I know you know this. Dogs have a way. They're going to find that spot in the new carpet. They're going to ruin it. So just try Genesis 950. I actually use it on the desk a lot back here. It's very strong, potent, and it's a great product.
844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr. Here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. So while there are lots of options out there, there is only one no-brainer. Simply Safe. Grace had just bought a Simply Safe system.
And it's crazy, Howie, because I bought Simply Safe for my first home. And it's just as all of this craziness is starting to take over and it is leaking out into the suburbs. You want your home to be safe. You sleep better. And when you're not there, you feel better when you're gone because you know your house is protected.
Simply Safe's got everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It's got an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window, and door tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals if there's an emergency. You can set it up for yourself in under an hour. Just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. No technician required. And there's no contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. All this starts at just $15 a month, a third of the price the others charge. I'm not the only one who thinks Simply Safe is great. U.S. News & World Report named it best overall home security of 2020. Try Simply Safe today at simplysafehowie.com. You get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose. That's simplysafehowie.com. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
The director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, didn't speak for very long. We would have switched over to him if he was resigning and apologizing for his total mishandling of the Obamagate cover-up over the last couple of years, but he didn't do that. So we'll continue to monitor what's going on at the White House. Time now for our poll question. Skip the hassle at the grocery store and sign up to get delicious, high-quality meat delivered fresh to your door at butcherbox.com/Howie. That's butcherbox.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
How do you feel about paying for cable television? I've cut the cord, I'm thinking about cutting the cord, or I'll never cut the cord.
I'm thinking about cutting the cord.
I've cut the cord.
I've also cut the cord. 46% say they're thinking about it. 42% say they've done it. And 12% say they'll never do it.
I'll never get cable again, ever. Not even for The Bachelor. Because I can watch that on YouTube TV now.
Yeah, that's on network TV.
You can watch everything on?
Basically, you can watch everything on YouTube.
You can watch more on YouTube TV than you could with cable.
Yeah. And it's also just like the major, all of the major series that you'd want to watch. Like, I'm watching The Sopranos right now. I never watched that. That's like 8 seasons. That's going to take me a long time. I'm not going to need TV for a while.
There are always classic movies playing on YouTube TV. Yeah. Always.
Well, I don't subscribe to YouTube TV, and I can get Boston Blackie movies anytime I want for free.
Let me say, there are always good classic movies.
Thank you for that clarification. So there's a rumor going around. A Reddit user has found a potential clue for the name that will replace the Redskins. We've been talking a lot today and this whole month, basically, about replacing names that are offensive. Obviously, the Washington Redskins, they held out for a while.
How dare you?
Trader Jose's beer sleeps with the fishes at Trader Joe's.
Uncle Ben's.
Mutual of Omaha's Indian is gone as of today. Even with no complaints, they still got rid of it.
Yeah, no, people are just getting rid of absolutely everything. And like Patrice said in the first hour, soon it's just going to be names people don't like. You know, I knew a guy back in high school who was a bully who had that name. Change it. So it's getting pretty crazy. But there is a clue of what they may change their name to.
A clue.
And I'll tell you how they find the clue. A lot of people figure out now what things are going to be going to domain servers and figuring out what domain names have been saved.
Well, I guess didn't some real estate agent buy up a lot of the potential names or what he was speculating, right?
That's a Howie Carr move. That's a brilliant idea. And then they come knocking and you're like, oh, hello.
You know, this real estate agent, he got red tails and red everything, you know?
Yeah.
Just the
I hope he
syllable.
Holds out. So what happened was someone figured out the former Redskins appeared to be strongly considering becoming the Washington or DC Sentinels, the team name in Keanu Reeves's 2000 football movie,
God.
The Replacements, after a Reddit user discovered that the company, which manages the website Redskins.com, also recently registered for the domain name DCSentinels.com. And it was also loosely based off the Redskins, that movie. Wasn't a great movie. It was okay. But I mean, worth naming your team after.
The Sentinel's not a great name anyway.
No.
When I worked in Winston-Salem, they had a morning paper and an evening paper. The Journal, that's the one I worked for, the morning paper. The Sentinel, the evening paper. Out of business.
Yeah, 1989. I was going to say, which one was better?
It was the Sentinel had a disadvantage. It was an evening newspaper. The Washington, D.C. Why don't they change the name to the Stars, the evening newspaper in D.C. back in the day?
I just find everything, and I think, Taylor, you hit a really good point in the first hour, because so when I was looking up the Redskins, I came across this article about a lot of Native Americans who either disagree or agree with the change. Most Native Americans actually, that at least in this article, disagreed. They didn't think they should change it. They thought it was a cool logo. A lot of them wore it on their jackets in high school. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, we didn't really learn a lot about Native Americans in school, and now this is one less, you know, image of that time period.
Right.
So I thought, why don't they just try to educate people on the history of Native Americans rather than taking things away? Because like Taylor said, what are they going to replace it with? Like a white guy? And then, oh, great, another white guy on a uniform. It doesn't help.
What I don't understand is the Florida State Seminole, to me, looks a lot like the Washington Redskin, right?
Right.
But the Florida State Seminole is going nowhere because they're apparently paying the Seminoles for the use of the name. So why don't they just pick a tribe?
And give some money. Cash is king.
Right. Somebody that doesn't, some tribe that doesn't have access to a casino license.
And you could say the same thing about Aunt Jemima or Uncle Ben. Like, if instead of taking the name off, why don't you just donate to a charity or, you know, that's going to help, you know, black people. I don't know. Like, why don't we do things that are positive instead of just taking things away? I don't know who anyone who's watching while going through the grocery store going, I feel so much more represented now that Aunt Jemima's not on the shelf, or I'm so happy that Uncle Ben is gone. Most people I know weren't really worried about it.
Yeah. Yes. I know. I don't. And what about what about Trader Joe? What's going to happen to Trader Joe? I'm Howie Carr.
Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets? Down 1,000 or more points one day, up the next. Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride the stock markets have been on. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or before that, the oil price war abroad, you always need to be diversified. And that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you still haven't taken advantage of their no obligation guide, it's not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them now. 1-800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. So the press event has wrapped up, and I'm glad that these are fairly short now. You know, they're he gets out there, he makes his points, and he doesn't do a little I don't know. He doesn't have a brouhaha with the reporters. I'm trying to think of the right word to describe it. He doesn't get into a urinating match with the reporters. Let me put it that way. And he did it, and he laid it out, and it was pretty effective. And now they've moved on. 844-500-4242. And I think Ted Cruz really summed it up nicely, though, in a recent interview, the senator from Texas. And I'm going to play a couple of cuts before we go to the phone lines here. And Cruz was talking about what's going on here and how they're trying to shut down the economy again. And it's just it's outrageous that they're getting away with it. Maryland is now talking about it again. New York is considering shutting down these businesses. I mean, these restaurants are already on the brink. You know, these businesses, especially in Manhattan, have not rebounded in the least. And they just want to keep it shut down. The unions, the teachers' unions, are threatening all kinds of dire consequences for the politicians if they reopen the schools. And again, I thought these teachers were educators. I thought they were professionals. I thought they were concerned about the children. And does anybody think that the kids are getting a better education at home, sitting in front of a computer screen? And we come down to the fact, I keep repeating it day after day. We had Lara Trump on yesterday, the president's daughter-in-law. She mentioned it, 30 children in the entire United States of America are dead of COVID-19. 30 in these 4 months. You know? I mean, it's not a threat to the children. And it's not a threat to 90% or 95% of the teachers. Because it basically, the average age of a decedent in most states is over 80. In Minnesota, I think it's 87. In Massachusetts, it's 82. Some states don't even report what the age is anymore because they think that people will start putting it together, that this is not a nationwide plague. This is not the Black Death. This is not the bubonic plague. But let's play cut 10 from Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz.
We are paying a whole lot of people a lot more money to stay home and not work than they made on their jobs. And that is terrible for those workers. It's terrible for the economy. And every time, everyone in this body who votes for paying people more money to stay home and not work than to go to work, they ought to write on the top of that, paid for by the Joe Biden for President campaign. Because there are a lot of Democratic politicians all over the country who they understand if the country's shut down, if 40 million people are out of work, their guy probably wins. And so they want the economy completely shut down. We want people back at work. We want people providing for their kids.
You could just see it when they're describing it. They're taking glee in keeping the economy shut down. There's just no question about it. Cut number 11.
If it ends up that Biden wins in November, I hope he doesn't. I don't think he will. But if he does, I guarantee you the week after the election, suddenly all those Democratic governors, all those Democratic mayors will say, everything's magically better. Go back to work. Go back to school. Suddenly the problems are solved. You won't even have to wait for Biden to be sworn in. All they'll need is election day, and suddenly their willingness to just destroy people's lives and livelihoods, they will have accomplished their task. That's wrong. It's cynical, and we shouldn't be a part of it.
Government rules for restaurants. Before we go to the calls, I just want to read this. This is from the Wall Street Journal today about these kinds of insane, unhinged measures that they're requiring. In various states, New York, for more than a month, 2% or fewer of those tested in New York City have been found positive for the virus. Governor Cuomo has nonetheless refused to allow any indoor dining in the city. Then last week, he declared that all alcoholic drinks must now be served with a meal or snack. You've heard about this. One of the restaurants said they were going to serve potato chips. They called them Cuomo chips. Mr. Cuomo claims this new mandate is necessary to prevent New Yorkers from congregating and spreading the virus, unless, of course, they want to have a riot. In reality, it's only one more needless burden on restaurants, which can be shut down or lose their license if they fail to comply. COVID-19 spreads as easily over hot wings as beers, and the executive order won't permit those who want to linger from ordering a second round. Mr. Cuomo also wants to micromanage patrons' orders. Here we are with the chips, the Cuomo chips. He said serving chips with beer isn't sufficiently compliant. But, quote, breads, mustards, and crackers are fine. What kind of mustards, Governor? Can you use French's mustard, or do we have to get some of that imported Grey Poupon?
I think Colorado actually just put in place after 10 o'clock, no booze in the restaurants or bars. Because as we all know, after 10 and you have alcohol in your system, you're a prime target for the COVID.
Flying around. Oh, there's no booze. He hasn't had a drink for an hour. We'll just keep moving away. Breads, mustards, and crackers are fine in New York, and drinkers can split an appetizer as long as it would, quote, sufficiently serve the number of people in the party. The official guidance says. Okay, San Diego County, California, requires restaurants to close as early as 10 p.m. There you go, Taylor. Though guests already at a table can stay until 11. This deprives restaurants of late night customers, although COVID doesn't become more virulent in the waning hours. Where I was down in Florida until recently, they had a midnight curfew. Apparently, like Dracula, the COVID virus comes out after sunset and attacks. So they wanted to make sure everybody was battened down from midnight until 6 o'clock in the morning.
In the early days of the Massachusetts lockdown, everything started closing at 8 because after that, the vampires came out. Yeah. And I work until 7. I don't get home until 8. I can't do anything. I'm useless.
I know. Well, they had a curfew lockdown in Florida where I was at 8 o'clock. And then apparently they negotiated with the COVID virus and they extended the curfew to hour till 9 o'clock. And of course, as I've said before, you couldn't go out on the bike path if you were over the age of 11 after 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock. And then it was 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock. You could only be on the bike path next to where I lived on the Intercoastal Waterway if you were under the age of 12. Don't ask me why. Chicago allows restaurants to expand into the streets, but while, quote, table umbrellas are encouraged as a way to mitigate sun and rain, unquote, tents are verboten. Umbrellas, yes. Tents, no. And during phase one in Oregon, pool tables are off limits, but video lottery machines, jukeboxes, and coin-operated arcade machines may remain open as long as social distancing is maintained. Players are limited to one, and machines are cleaned between use. Wait a second. So if you're in a pinball game, do they have to... Do they have to change when my ball goes into the rack and it is gone and then and my opponent plays? Do they have to clean the machine before my opponent takes the machine? Or is it just when we both of us leave the machine? I don't understand it. 844-500-4242. 978. This is so weird. I live in Salem, Massachusetts, and there's no COVID here between 1 a.m. and 8 a.m. What's the curfew? The curfew applies to everybody, including the virus. Patsy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Patsy.
Yes.
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. What did you want to talk about?
Okay. Love you guys to pieces. I'll be quick as I can. I was heartbroken over these monuments, and so I prayed about it, and I came up with Buff Up on My History. That's a good thing. All these people that's got children they don't know what to do with, I guarantee you, I'm a parent. When the time comes, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, the problem is if you can't drop them off at school or, you know, wait for them to get picked up by the bus, if you got to keep them in the house, I mean, what are you going to do if they're under a certain age, whatever the age is, 12 or 15. I mean, you don't want to leave them in the house while you go to work, do you? I know I never did when I had kids in the house living like that. Thanks for the call, Patsy. Kevin, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, Howie. How's it going?
Good.
Great. Hey, the reason why they don't have pool tables in Portland, Oregon, is because they use all the balls and sticks to beat on the cops with.
I know. Thanks for the call, Kevin. Dan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dan.
How you doing, Howie? I love your show. I love Grace. She looked great in that Supergirl costume. I want to tell you, back in 1965, my father went to work for Fred Trump, and Fred couldn't be nicer. We were there for almost 7 years. He used to come around a lot to check up on my dad and the other super, the porters and that.
Yeah.
But he also came around to check up on the tenants to make sure they were comfortable and everything was great. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't be more polite. He always took care of us on Christmas with unbelievable presents. For her to say he had no room for kindness or generosity, that whole book should be in the fiction section.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Dan, what do you think the old man, Fred Trump, would think about his granddaughter writing a book like that about his son, Donald?
I don't know. I don't know. Fred was a good man. I don't think he would have said anything publicly about it. But I've been saying for years that Donald should run for president. And people used to tell me, my family and I went way back when he was fixing the ice skating rink and mm-hmm. the hotel. I used to say that. And people would say, right. Oh, he's too busy counting his money. Well, I finally got my wish. I'm so glad he's the president. He's the best president we ever had.
Thanks for the call, Dan. 844-500-4242. That was one of the Washington Post's great moments in their coverage of the Trump presidency. Remember, they put on some kind of spoof video, this obscure website, and they said, this is the ad that Fred Trump used when he was running for mayor of New York in 1969. Of course, the problem was he didn't run for mayor of New York in 1969 or any other year. And these spoof filmmakers had just put together this crazy anti-black video that he supposedly was going to use. And the Washington Post believed it was a real video, that it had somehow been found in the archives of some old advertising agency. And they put it out on the website as if it were real. It said, this is what the racist bad man president's father was doing 50 years ago. And again, as I said, totally false. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Howie, hi. I love your show. I just found it on Newsmax. It's
Thank
great.
You. Thank you.
I have two questions. How is it that these mayors of like Portland, Chicago, all these left mayors, how is it that they can tell the president not to send in any troops to straighten anything out? They're mayors.
I know. Did anyone stop George H.W. Bush from sending troops into L.A. during the Rodney King riots? Did anyone stop President Kennedy from sending in troops when they had the riots in Oxford, Mississippi, when they integrated Ole Miss? Or Dwight Eisenhower when they integrated Little Rock Central High School back in the 50s? Nobody ever complained about that. This has never been a constitutional issue, has it? It absolutely has not. 844-500-4242. Thanks for the call, Mark, and keep listening and watching on Newsmax. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
And I had a nurse at Walter Reed Hospital who would bend down and whisper in my ear.
Wow.
And go home and get me pillows. They would make sure they'd actually, probably nothing ever taught in, you can't do it in the COVID time, but they'd actually breathe in my nostrils to make me move, to get me moving.
They would breathe in my nostrils to get me moving? When did he say this, Taylor?
This was earlier today. He did several interviews today, and this was one of them.
When was he at Walter Reed Hospital?
I could not tell you.
Did they do hair transplants?
Facelifts?
Yikes. 844. He also mentioned today COVID-9. And let's play another cut. Cut 7.
Make sure that we have paid caregivers and early childhood educators a decent wage and benefits.
Pay caregivers. Yesterday it was voter registration physicians. Today it's pay caregivers. And then let's play the virus COVID-19 has changed. It's metastasized. Is that the word? Or morphed into a different virus. Cut 8.
And we're continuing tragically to find ourselves in the midst of COVID-9, including 830 Wisconsinites of late.
COVID-9. Woody, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Woody.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
You're an acknowledged Kennedy expert. So I read an article about that Mary Trump's book.
Yes.
And I couldn't help but see the contrast between if you took Trump out and put Kennedy in all the sentences, the Kennedys were raised in exactly the same type of household, and he's an acknowledged great president. So it's their dysfunctional family upbringing created the Kennedys, which made JFK aloof and compartmentalized and, you know, all the things that made him actually a decent president. So you can't be Mr. Nice Guy as the president. But, you know, Jimmy Carter, I'm sure, had a wonderful childhood, but he was the second worst president we ever had.
You have a point. The only thing I would disagree with you on, Woody, is whether or not JFK was a great president. I don't think most people really believe he was that great of a president. But, you know, they had, you could say that maybe Mary Trump is onto something, that the family was somewhat dysfunctional. But I think the Kennedys were even more dysfunctional. And JFK basically didn't have Rose, his mother, around. And I think that really affected him from the psychological studies I've read of him over the years. Thanks for the call, Woody. I'm Howie Carr.